on ABC Radio Hobart and ABC Northern Tasmania. Mornings with Leon Compton.
I was heading to the supermarket yesterday. There was someone else coming out of it. I had my kids with me. He had his kids. And we were crossing paths, both of us wearing masks. We stopped and had a brief socially distanced chat about the fact that we knew that we more than likely had shared the same experience of spending some time in Victoria over the school holidays. It was quite funny. But do people treat you differently? Experiencing going to the shops in Victoria where everybody's wearing masks, I found it horrible. I mean, you got to do it, but it just takes so much of the experience of sharing a smile out of things. And because it's much harder to communicate, you can't see people's lips moving. You tend to sort of turn your head sideways so that you can prioritize what's coming into your ear rather than what your eyes are seeing. And so it makes everything a little strained. How do you experience the differences? Let's talk about it with somebody who's written about this for The Conversation. Elspeth Tilley is an associate professor of English. She's been thinking about this deeply. Elspeth, good morning to you.
Good morning.
How are things over the ditch? Are a lot of people wearing masks in your part of the world, Elspeth?
We only have to really wear them on public transport now, so we're very lucky.
Why did you decide to write this article for The Conversation? What was it for you about thinking about the way we communicate and the way masks change that drew you to put pen to page?
When we were coming out of the levels of our really serious lockdown, we obviously did have a lot more prevalent requirement for mask use, and a lot of people seemed to be really angry about it. And I also myself felt uncomfortable. It was sweaty, and when I would wear my glasses, it would fog up, and I found myself feeling really grumpy about the inconvenience. So being an ethics scholar, I decided to put a bit of an ethics ruler over it and try and analyse what was the right thing to do and also why was I feeling so grumpy.
So what happens when you apply an ethical lens to the wearing of masks, Elspeth?
I looked at three different types of ethics. One that's kind of personal, about what kind of person do you want to be, what will make you sleep at night. One that looked at what rules and regulations are we obliged to comply with, and one that asks us to think about what kind of world we want to live in the future. So I think for Kiwis and probably for Aussies as well, we're a little bit anti-authoritarian. We don't necessarily like being told what to do. But when you look at those things about what kind of person do I want to be and what kind of world do I want to live in, they gave pretty clear answers as to we can wear a mask and that will maybe be short-term uncomfortable, but in the long term, it will benefit everybody else as well and help us get back to normal faster and help the economy recover and all those kinds of things.
I'm not sure that we are that anti-authoritarian when you boil it all down, Elspeth. I think there's a lot of sort of easy compliance that marks Australia apart from somewhere like, say, the US, where, you know, it's seen much more as a sort of an impingement on people's well-understood liberties. How is it changing communication? I find this fascinating. I mean, you're an English professor, you're all about communication, but I find that the way that it changes, the ability to smile or not smile, some of the frustration that might have been baked into having to find your mask and put it on, maybe the necessity of turning your head away from the person you're meant to be looking at so that you can hear with your ears rather than your eyes, sort of changes interaction in ways that I'm not sure I love.
Absolutely. And acknowledging the change and maybe grieving for what we've lost is actually a really important step in accepting what we have to put up with now so that we can kind of move forward into those behaviours that are going to help. But I love what some of the iwi or Māori groups here have always been known for, their very expressive eyebrows. So it actually became a little bit of a meme here. It was quite fun about how can we communicate more with our eyebrows. And there was a series of comics with different expressions like interpret the eyebrows and see what they mean. So finding some humour in it is a really good way to go from feeling that frustration, because yes, we have lost things and we've lost that ability to communicate the way we did before, but can we find something funny in it and move forward with that?
Do non-mask wearers take a step back from people wearing a mask in your experience?
I have actually heard that that's been happening in Australia. I haven't seen it here, but I've also been looking at the ways that the whole pandemic has been communicated in New Zealand versus Australia. And New Zealand has really emphasised working together as a team and being kind in the messaging that's come through from the government. We haven't had any fear-based ads. We have not had any people gasping for breath or very terrifying things. And fear-based messaging can actually have some unintended effects, which might be part of what's causing people to be stepping back or to be afraid in that moment rather than to be thinking charitably.
I was just thinking then about how different, I mean, we've had about 1,000 different messages in Tasmania and Australia around mask wearing, around vaccinations, around a whole host of things that has left things really clouded. I think everything's on the table and it depends what time of the day it is as to whether it's on the table or not. And that has made things interesting and confusing. Who is driving your COVID messaging in New Zealand?
So our Prime Minister obviously has been very front and centre, and she has had two very clear messages the whole way through, and they are be kind and we're a team of 5 million. And anybody that you speak to has those messages top of mind. The Ministry of Health comes in behind in some of the more complex areas, but there's still those really two clear, simple, cut-through messages. So it's actually shown if you can come up with positive messaging around these things, it will have longer-term and stronger communication effects. Fear works really quickly to get a short compliance, but people won't stick to that behaviour if they've come to it because they're frightened. If you can tap into something, what's something Australian, like, I don't know, a really silly, quirky sense of humour where you've got funny emojis on the masks that are uniquely Australian, something that people will see as, this is something I can get behind because it taps into my positive values rather than because I'm frightened.
And can you explain simply where your vaccine rollout is up to at this point?
That's not my area of expertise. I know that there has been some disgruntlement here from people who are differently abled, and I think probably rightly so, that they haven't been prioritised to the extent that would have helped them feel valued. But other than that, it seems everyone's pretty happy with the vaccine rollout from what I can see.
It's an interesting one. I was wondering if the messaging, even though, and I understand it's not your area of expertise, but there was the messaging so clear that it was understood, because I think, again, because it depends on the time of day where the messaging sits in Australia, it's been difficult to come up with a clear message about the vaccine rollout and how it's coming along and who is eligible progressively and so on. I was just trying to understand a little about how things were playing there for you. Elspeth, lovely to talk to you this morning. Thank you for being part of Mornings Around Tasmania.